Hadassah, and I'm so excited to welcome you to Real Woman, Real Torah, a project of Becheva Learning Center. We're here to offer you an authentic Torah learning experience, produced for woman, by woman. I hope you enjoy.
Hi, my name is Hannah Hershovitz, and welcome back to our third part in our three-part series, our three-part Tishrei series. In this series, we are going to be summing up, going through the journey of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, finally focusing on Sukkot and Shemini Atzeres. Now, what is our Vaida? What does it tell us about being who we are? Now, Rosh Hashanah podcast, Yom Kippur podcast, we spoke a lot about really recognizing the power that you have in your soul, really identifying with your Chelek Elokai, and really understanding that you are this incredible human being. And by thinking about negative thoughts and thinking all these negative things about yourself, it doesn't actually contribute to being the best version of yourself. In today's Maima, which is called Biyom HaShemini Shalach HaSa'am, which is in Lekutei Torah Drushim LeShemini Atzeres, the Alter Rebbe really goes on a journey explaining really the avaida of how Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Sukkot and Shemini Atzeres allow us to understand the paradoxical element of being human. Understand that because we were created as a paradox, we are going to be behaving as a paradox. And by celebrating the human being, we can allow ourselves to understand the nature of who we are. I think so often we think there's a problem within us. Like, how could it be that sometimes we feel so connected and sometimes we're constantly, I feel like it's like a seesaw. Like, on one hand, we are constantly experiencing Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, I need to work on myself, I need to be a better version of myself, Cheshbon HaNefesh. And the other hand, we get this message of Chassidus that you are amazing the way you are. And we are going to be looking at the pros and cons of both, and really that both are essential to our Vaidas Hashem. I love this Maimah, just to preface that I learned it a few years ago, and I think it was like the first Lekutei Torah Maimah that I learned from the Alter Rebbe, like inside properly. And it really changed my life. It really allowed me to love myself and to like give myself credit on like, on days of growth. Like, it reminded me that I'm amazing and I'm good enough. And on days that were really, on days that I was feeling like I'm amazing who I am, like I'm good enough, it reminds me that I am amazing, but I also need to grow. It gave me like this good medium, and I think it reminded me that Hashem does love me for who I am. I don't need to like sit and hate on myself all day, that I need to grow, I need to work on myself. And at the same time, like, Hashem expects balance, that Yiddishkeit really celebrates having a balanced relationship with self, relationship with soul. And I think this Maima is really going to, I think it's really going to give a lot of insight. It's very profound and it's beautiful. So let's just get into it. Okay. Biyom HaShemini Shalach HaSa'am Vayivarchu Es HaMelech Vayechu Le'aleihem Smechem V'Tayv Lev. So this Maima opens, we're talking about a pasuk, which is the Haftira of Shemini Atzeres, which talks about the idea that Shlomo HaMelech made a 14-day party to celebrate the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash, the first Beis HaMikdash. And then on the eighth day, which was, it's divided into 7 days and 7 days. In that year, they actually didn't, it was only Yom Kippur, the Jewish people did not fast. And after 7 days, and on the, after the second batch of 7 days, the eighth day, which is Shemini Atzeres, he sent them home. Rashi asked a question, like, how could it be that he sent them home on Shemini Atzeres? You're not allowed to move the Tchum Yamtiv. You're not allowed to walk the, not a walk 2,000 Amos out of the city on Chag. Rashi explains that they really left the day after. In this section of the Maima that I'm explaining, it's quite a long Maima. We're going to be jumping around a little bit, just to get to like really the heart of what the Maima is talking about. We're not going to really be focusing on that line itself, but I'll show you where you can find it at the end of the Maima, how the Alter Rebbe really sums, explains how it's connected, what's the connection with that in Shemini Atzeres. Okay. Hine b'Shemini Atzeres, mekabelim klal Yisrael shefa hanhagasam b'tairasam v'avadasam shel kol hashana. V'hu inyan marat hageshem she'omrim m'Shemini Atzeres ad Pesach, u'v'sham be'elach maratah. So Shemini Atzeres is the time that the Jewish people really receive all the shefa and all the brachas in all your avodah and your attire for the upcoming year. And we see this that on the fact that on Shemini Atzeres we actually daven for rain, and that empowers us physically and spiritually to have a lot of sustenance for the upcoming year. But the Alter Rebbe explains, But Shemini Atzeres is just it's just the end piece of all the shefa, the entire journey that begins Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkah, Shemini Atzeres, that all together, that only through the entire journey do we actually receive the shefa and the rain and all the sustenance that comes down during Shemini Atzeres, through the journey that we are going on. So Yirmiyah gives this brings this beautiful pasuk, which is Az Tismach Basula B'machal, and then the maiden rejoices. How does she rejoice? With dancing. This mashal, this pasuk in Yirmiyah, is going to be the mashal that is going to carry us through the maima and really carry us through this journey of life. What is the idea of machal? Basula, he bechinas Knesset Yisrael. What does Basula, the maiden, represent? It represents Knesset Yisrael. It represents Am Yisrael. Makar kol neshamas Yisrael. The source of all the souls of Yisrael. Or b'machal yesh la beis parashim. Ha'alef hu lashem mechilas avayin. Va'beis hu pshutai lashem rikob mechilas. And the word mechil, b'machal, has two explanations. The first is the idea of mechila, which is the idea of forgiveness. And the second is mechal, dancing. And at face value, these two explanations sound completely contradictory. What's the connection between mechila, which is regret, forgiveness for your sins, and mechal, dancing? It seems completely two opposites. V'ratza lo'ymar, she's Shesimchas Knesset Yisrael Ba'Hashem Aisehu Kamay Al Derech Mashal Shemarakdim Mabachal Shemarachek Ha'echa Mechaver V'Chazo Mekar V'Arichok Bo Sibas Hakiruv Lafi She'ena Rechok Amiti She'ena Rechok Pemimimis Meskavet Ela Shederech Rechok Kacho. Now the Alter Rebbe, it's amazing. He explains, what is dancing? We have to explain this mashal of dancing. Dancing is a very, very unique experience. If you see professionals dancing, what are professionals doing? They are going through this two-part experience. There is this distance, and then there is also this closeness. So for example, like if you see like professional dancers or figure skaters, there's all these emotions where there is this deep, intimate nature, where the two dances are very close proximity. And then there is also wedding dancing, right? There's close and far. And then there's this distance, and then there's closest and distance and closest. And that's how dancing works. But the Alter Rebbe says that what's the she'ena rechok penimius, that really the distance, by rechok klusipos hakirav, kirov. The only reason why there's ever distance in dancing is in order to bring up the tension that there is this closeness. For example, like if there is a bigger lift, the dancer is going to go far and they're going to run close, and through the distance, there is this beautiful closeness between the two dancers. So the distance is, the reason for the distance is really the closeness. V'kach hu inyan simchas Knesset Yisrael b'chinas harechok. Okay, now, so Alter Rebbe explains this idea of Knesset Yisrael, that the Jewish people are having this maiden is going through this, is rejoicing through this dance, is a representation of the Jewish people also experiencing this dance between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Sukkah, Shemini Atzeres, but also our entire lives is a dance. And how is this dance expressed? Through this Hasidic concept, which I love, which is going to really frame this maima, but this idea of Ratzai and Shuv. What's Ratzai and Shuv? Ratzoi and Shuv is this idea that Ratzoi, what's Ratzoi? Ratzoi is this desire. It's the feeling that you have that you are not in the best place that you should possibly be. You're in this place where you feel far and you feel this burning desire to become close, to be one with Hashem. It's like I'm not, it's a yearning. It's the opposite of complacency. I'm running to another place. It's similar lacha nafshi. I'm far. I feel this burning desire to be close to Hashem. I feel this burning desire to drown myself and be completely one with Hashem. Then we have Shiv. Shiv is the opposite. Shiv is Tov Mishani. I'm good who I am. Relax. The person I am is good enough. It's a sense of independence that we have this constantly in Yiddishkeit. It's like this idea of being a universal person and being an individual. That, yes, we Jewish people are one of every, we are Go Kadosh, right? We're in this world. We are universal people. We are here to make a Dirbat Altanim of Hashem, to be Or Lagoim, to be lights upon the nations, and to be universal people. But at the same time, we have to be okay with who we are in this real world. But at the same time, we can't constantly be okay who we are in this real world. Because if we look at ourselves as universal people, then we lose our distinct individuality of being a Yid. Being a Yid is something different. It's something special. It's something that we stand out for. And if we become too universal, then we lose our individuality, what makes us unique and special. And I think that's not just like in a more theoretical concept, but in our real lives. If we're constantly in a space where we feel like we need to grow, constantly, like, I'm not good enough, I need to work harder, the place that I am is not good enough, I need to become better, and we're constantly in that space, that we're constantly doing cheshbon nefesh, we're constantly working on ourselves, then the real result is that we're going to become very anxious, and we're never going to be good enough, we're never going to feel good enough, we're going to be in a constant state of, it's not a healthy place to be, to constantly think that you're not good enough. You're like growing too much that you feel so anxious that you can't even like, you don't even know like who you are anymore because you're moving at such a rapid place, at such a rapid speed. But on the other hand, if you're living in Shiv, I'm good enough, I'm good who I am, I'm amazing, Hashem loves me for who I am, and I'm constantly preaching to myself that Hashem loves me for who I am, and I'm amazing, I'm incredible and unbelievable all day, that I'm good enough, then you're never going to grow. You're going to become complacent. And there's going to be no sense of moving in any direction because the whole time you're thinking, you know what? I'm good enough. I'm amazing. I'm unbelievable. The person that I am is good enough. And that's not going to lead to any to growth. So we have to live our life in this idea of dancing. Rotsi and shove, back and forth, back and forth. I need to grow. I'm good enough. I need to grow. I need to good enough. It's not possible just to be rotsi. And it's not possible just to be shive. So we're constantly living in this state of tension, resolution, tension, resolution. Okay. So let's look back inside. So in order to understand this, we have to understand this. We say that we love in Shema, we love Hashem with all our heart. What is all our heart? With both our yetzeres, our yetzer tov and our yetzer hara. How's it possible to love Hashem with your yetzer hara that is called bad? We have two neshamas, right? And how are we meant to love Hashem with a Yetzer Hara, which is inclined really in the opposite way? And the Alter explains, it explains in Tanya, that the Jewish, that a person has in their heart two sides of their heart, the right ventricle and the left ventricle. The right ventricle constantly has a desire to love Hashem and to cleave to Him. And the left ventricle has the opposite desire. And our left ventricle constantly has the desire to connect to things that are outside of the realm of Kedusha, to physicality. Because our soul was chiseled with two sides to it, as it says in Tehillim, as David HaMelech says, Achar v'kedem sartani, that Hashem, you created me last, and first you created me. Now, the Alter Rebbe is going to explain now, what does this mean? Achar v'kedem. So it's over a parish, Achar, l'maaseh breishis, she'adam nevar sof kol nevarim, v'kedem ki Yisrael alo b'machshava. So we have to understand that Hashem created the human being in a two-step process. Is it that Hashem created? It says Achar v'kedem. Hashem created us last, or Hashem created us first? If you look inside the Torah at face value, the last thing that was created was man. On the sixth day, after Hashem created everything, sun, moon, stars, light, dark, animals, trees, fish. After every insects, after everything was created on the sixth day, the last thing Hashem created was man. So in this, from this perspective, this vantage point, we were created last. But there's a pasuk that says, "Ki Yisrael Olam Ma'achshava," that the Jewish people were created with thought. And we know that how did Hashem create the first day? How did Hashem create light and darkness? Hashem created it by Sar Mamaris, with speech. We know that thoughts come before speech. So if Yisrael Olam Ma'achshava, if the Jewish people were created with thought, it must be that Kedem, that the Jewish people were actually created first. He brings a few sources here. How is it possible that Hashem, that we were created first? Because it says in Maamar Razal, the rabbis explain, that the neshama, that Hashem asked the tzaddikim in order to create the world. And it says, Amcha Kulam Tzaddikim, because we're all tzaddikim, Hashem consulted the Jewish people whether to create the world. So if Hashem consulted the Jewish people to create the world, it must be that we were also created first. So Kedem and Achar. So how is there a sense of resolution? The resolution is over here that whilst the Jewish people were created, our neshamas were created first, our gufs were created last. How do we see that? That a human being is fully dependent on the world around them. We are fully dependent on Domem Sameachai. We are fully dependent on the animal kingdom, on the botany, and on Domem, on rocks and technology and everything that does inanimate objects. So a human being is fully dependent on the world around them. The fact that a person was only able to be created after the entire world was created means that the human being needed the world in order to function, right? But on the same time, the neshama of a Jew was created, the neshama of a person was created far beyond the world. And how do we know this? Because we say this in Lachadai, Disayf Maaseh Bachshava Tzchila, that sometimes the end result actually Saif Maaseh, the end result, Machshava Tzchila, was the first thought. I think that's with everything in life. If you have like a big goal in your life, you're going to create this multi-million dollar skyscraper. The end result only emanated, only came into fruition because of your first thought that I'm going to create this multi-million dollar skyscraper. Every end result in life started from an initial thought. And the Jewish people and Hashem created us that even though we were created last, the whole purpose of man being created was founded in the Kedem. As David HaMelech says, like we said, Achav Kedem Sartani. Okay. So we are going down to the bottom. Now, the Alter Rebbe says that because we created in this paradox, where on one hand, we were created first, then when we created last, because we were created in this paradoxical nature, so too the life of a human being is a constant paradox. Human beings are complicated. Like, I'm complicated. We're all complicated. We're constantly going in back and forth motions, and we're not so easy to... it's not easy to figure people out because people are very complicated because Hashem actually intended for human beings to be complicated. This is like the fourth line from the bottom. Hashem that the heart of every person has this two-step process of ratzav v'shuv. So this idea of ratzav, this idea of desire of connecting Hashem, to be one with Hashem, is founded in your right ventricle. The part of you that wants to connect to Hashem. Liyayas kalasa nafshel Hashem. To become fully one with Hashem. And to be one with it. And our left ventricle has this other idea of shai. That's saying that that I want this sense of individuality. The person that I am is good enough. Now, Now that we've understand this idea, Val Torah brings a lot of different quotes and a lot of different ideas, understanding this idea that how a person is Ratzi and Shuv. But because we don't have that much time, I want us to really understand how this idea of Ratzi and Shuv really connects this idea of Aseres Yimei, of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, and Shemini Atzeres. And what is a practical avodah for everyday life? So I'd like us to skip till Sif Beis, where we go Vehine. Vehine Seda Avodah Tzarech Liyais Tchilas Rosh Hashanah Shezeh Hayom Tchilas Maasecha. Zekaron Liyom Rishayim. So really, we have this idea that this whole Avodah, this whole journey and this whole process that an individual goes from Rosh Hashanah all the way to Shemini Atzeres, it really begins with Rosh Hashanah. And it really is founded in this beautiful pasuk in Shir Hashem, Bechinas Rosh Hashanah, Hu Bechinas Smiley Tachas L'Roishi V'Yemine Techab Keini. It's a beautiful line in the Song of Songs, the love song that was written by Shlomo HaMelech that explains Smali Tachas L'Roishi. My left hand is under my head. His left hand is under my head. V'Yemine Techab Keini. And his right hand hugs me, embraces me. And the rabbis explained to the Chachamim explained to us that this really talks this two-step process that his left hand is under my head and his right hand embraces me explains the mashal for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and Sukkot and Shemini Atzeres. Now Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is Smali Tachas L'Roishi. It's Hashem lifting us up with his left hand. Hashem lifting us up. It's a time of Gevura. It's a time that Hashem is really, it's interesting because in this two-step process of Ratzei and Shuv, we're going to explain that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur speaks about the idea of Ratzei. If you look at Rosh Hashanah, for example, and Yom Kippur, the entire journey of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is really about the person feeling very far, feeling a sense of rechok, feeling a sense of far from Hashem. And through the entire process of cheshbon nefesh and working on themselves, during Aseres Yimei Teshuvah, Tirshu Shemei Matzai, working on themselves, working on the apologizing to the people around them, recognizing that they're amazing, recognizing that they want to be better, you finally reach the ultimate kirov. This concept of this rechok and this kirov, this far, Tamluchuni Hashem Aleichem, that really on Rosh Hashanah we're asking Hashem to be king over us. We feel this awe of Hashem because Hashem is our king, to the culmination of this entire experience of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and Ne'ilah, where we're literally in the Yichud room with Hashem. We are one and one with Hashem. We are on such a close level. We are ultimate intimacy with Hashem. Chassidus explains that what is Ne'ilah? That we are locked in with Hashem. We're in the Yichud room with Hashem. That's how close we are to Hashem. We feel this distance, and this distance comes to this closeness, to this complete oneness, this idea of Ratzoi. This idea that we feel this complete deep yearning to Hashem to become really one and really drown and feel and really join together with Hashem, to become one with Hashem. Sukkot is a completely different avodah. What's Sukkot? The idea of Sukkot is the idea of Shuv. The idea that you are amazing the way you are. How is that seen? There are two mitzvahs of Sukkot there are two primary mitzvahs of Sukkot. The first is to sit in the sukkah. And the second one is to shake the lulav and esrog. And it's explained that both these mitzvahs embody the idea of Shuv, the idea that you are amazing just the way you are. If you look at the Dalad Minim, for example, we have the Lulav Esrog Hadassan Arava, and explains that you need all four in order to do the mitzvah. If one of them is missing, then you cannot do the mitzvah. But if you look at the Arba Minim, for example, we have the Arava has no taste and no smell, and it represents Jews that are not necessarily doing Torah and keeping mitzvah, and it's amazing. We're celebrating every single Jew, we're celebrating every person the way they are, the level that they're at. We're not on this level of ratzoi where I'm not good enough, I need to run and make myself better. It's like, no, The avodah of sukkahs, essentially, what is the avodah of sukkahs? The avodah of sukkahs is really to look at yourself and be like, I'm amazing just the way I am. The esrog has to sell, all the Am Yisrael, doesn't matter how different we are. Like, I love doing Mavsayim on sukkahs, like the highlight of my entire year. And every time I shake love and esrog with people, like, it's just such a nice little 5-second thing to tell them. Like, it doesn't matter what level you are, you're celebrated. Hashem loves you. Like, genuinely, if there's no arava, there's no dalad minim. Additionally, with the sukkah itself. The sukkah, what is the mitzvah of the sukkah? You bring your dirty boots in the sukkah. You bring your entire self into the sukkah. And what does Shulchan Aruch explain? What's the mitzvah of sukkah? That everything that you do during the entire year, it doesn't matter if you sit, eat, talk, laugh, sleep, every mundane thing that you do, go on a little walk around, listen to a podcast, every mundane thing that you do, as soon as you bring it into the sukkah, it becomes a mitzvah. It's like the most powerful, incredible thing. That what is the mitzvah of sukkah? The mitzvah of sukkah is just to be your ordinary, incredible self. Just be yourself. All you have to do is be the person that you are. And just by being my ordinary, down-to-earth self, what am I doing? I'm actually celebrating, actually accomplishing the mitzvah of sukkah. I think it's an amazing idea. So sukkahs really celebrates the idea of shuv. It really represents the idea that the person that you are, the person that you are in the most natural sense, is good enough. One of my favorite ideas is when Moshe Rabbeinu comes close to the burning bush, he wants to really have dvekus, really have ratzai, really come one with Hashem. He wants to come as close to the burning bush as he possibly can. And what does Hashem say? Hamakam asher ta'amad alav kadosho. The place that you are standing is also holy. And it's this recognition that we really have to look within ourselves and say, I don't have to be running all the time. There also is a place in Yiddishkeit to sit back and say, you know, the person that I am is good enough. The place that I am is holy too. I don't have to be stressing myself that I'm not doing every single mitzvah. I'm not stressing out that, you know, I'm not the person that I want to be. There are times. But if you're in a constant state of running and saying I'm not good enough, you become anxious. But there's also a con to constantly saying I'm amazing. Like, if your entire life you're saying, I'm an Arava, I'm good enough, like, it's not true. There is a goal to be an Esrog. Like, there is place in Yiddishkeit to be better. There just needs to be a balance. And that's really, I think, the Avaida of life. To find a really good balance to say, how am I going to be? I'm an amazing daughter. I'm an amazing wife. I'm an amazing sister. I'm an amazing brother, husband, friend, I'm an amazing chassid. I'm an amazing child of Hashem. I am amazing. And you have to really believe that I'm good enough. The person I am is amazing. Like, I am an incredible human being. But at the same time in our life, we have to look at ourselves and say, you know what? You can't constantly live in that state. If you're constantly saying, I'm the best daughter in the world, and you're never helping out at home, you're not doing anything to work on your relationship. You know, like, if you're not working, if you're not moving up, then you're not going anywhere. But if you're constantly saying, I'm not a good enough daughter, I'm not a good enough wife, I'm not a good enough sister, I'm not a good enough person, I'm not a good enough chassid, I'm not a good enough daughter of Hashem, then you're going to be constantly stressed out because you're going to say, I need to work on myself. And in the end, there's actually nothing positive going to come from it. So this ratzei and shuv, this balance that we're meant to be experiencing in life, is not just a nice Hasidic idea. It's not just a nice idea that we come around Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, but it's really a day-to-day thing. It's really a practical way to live your life. I think that's why I resonate with this Maamar so much, because it reminds me about this balance that we need to have. And you know what's interesting? The Maamar doesn't actually give, like, obviously you speak to a mashpia, you speak to people in your life, like, how am I creating this balance? But I don't want to spoil the end. But there is no direct 100% way on how to really have this clear balance in your life. It's really an avodah. It's really something that you have to constantly work on. Okay, let's look inside. Okay, let's start with Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so. Oh, so he brought this beautiful quote from Shir Hashir, which says, "B'chinas Rishon Hu B'chinas Small Tachas L'Roshi V'Yemina Tachab Keni V'Chein Zera Avoda Adam Tchilas Hu B'chinas Small Daicha V'B'chinas Rechok D'Hainu Sheyidmed B'Nafshay Ki'ilu Hu Rachay Mashem." Now, what's interesting that even though we said that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur represents the idea of Ratzoi, represents the idea that we have to we're creating this. We want to be one with Hashem. Even within this oneness with Hashem, there is still a sense of Shaiv. There's actually subdivisions between the Ratzai and the Shaiv, which makes it a little bit confusing, but if we break it down, it's not so confusing. Think about it. This idea of Ratzai and Shaiv, it's like a dance, like the Altarba said, that it's like a dance, like two dancers, they're dancing, and they're constantly, let's visualize it, they're dancing back and forth. It's a beautiful waltz. They're going in and out, in and out. They're twirling. They're going close. They're going far. They're being pulled out. They're twirling back in. And in this twirl, this dance that they are going through and experiencing, this, there is a distance, but the distance is for the purpose of closeness. So explains over here that by saying smiley tachas l'roshi, it explains over here that what? That small daicha. That the avodah of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur actually has to start from idea of shaiv. This idea, the idea of smiley tachas l'roshi, the idea of gevura. That only in order to get to this complete intimacy at the end of ne'ilah, there has to be this independence. You first have to really be your own person. The journey of Rosh Hashanah starts with being an individual. Starting with Elul, really looking within myself and saying, who am I? It's like smiley tachas l'roshi, that Hashem is like, in a way, holding your head up, but in a way that is far from me. Hashem's not giving you, Yemina Techab Keni is that with the right hand, Hashem is giving you a hug. Hashem's not embracing you. Hashem is sort of pushing you away in a sense, but it's not pushing you away in a bad way, but pushing you away in a sense that gives you independence to be your own self. And through the entire journey, through the Viduyim and through the Slichas, Kodem Rosh Hashanah, Baseret Tzmei Teshuva, Lirois Atzma, Kol Pechisai Shabbai, through all, looking at all the crevices within yourself, Liyashafa Be'enav, to look within yourself like with real eyes and really be able to contemplate, look into yourself, a Lev Nishbar, and a broken heart, the Nitche, Shal Etzum V'Rucha Keim Hashem, to think like, how far am I from Hashem? Who am I really? How, what is my real state of growth? Like, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is like a time where you really got to be real with yourself. Like, it's not a time of thinking I'm amazing, I'm perfect. Of course, you have to think you're a chelek elokim and amazing, but you have to think like, because I'm amazing, there's expectations of me. Like, you have to be really real with yourself with a really earnest cheshbon nefesh, like a really earnest calculation of the soul. Like, how am I going to be better in the coming year? What were my downfalls? What were my pitfalls? What were the things that I need to work on? And then through that, through all of that, Ad Shabiyom Kippur Lifnei Havai Tataru, Lifnei Havai Bechanas Panim Bepanim, till finally you come to Yom Kippur and you're Panim Bepanim Hashem, you're face to face with Hashem. But Koyach Hashuva Ba'amoka Beliba Tichsim Ma'akim Karasecha Havaya, to the point that you are literally one and one face to face with Hashem. You have this Richok, you felt this. You felt far. You felt debilitated. You didn't feel good enough. You did a cheshbon nefesh. You wrote down all the things that you need to work on in the coming year. And through working on all the things that you had to work on the coming year, panim b'panim, you are face to face. What does it mean? Panim b'panim is like pnimius. You'll have this real, earnest, true relationship with Hashem. Uchsev bakshu panai es panecha avaya avakesh b'chanas Pnimius Halev. You're really with this one with Hashem. Tahino, Shiye, Megamasai, La Hashem, Batairasai, Bachal, Le, Venefesh, Liyas, Asaka,
ba'olam hazeh derech kriros, and you really have this one with Hashem in olam hazeh, and it's like a really, really powerful connection that you have with Hashem. This oneness and this depth that only came from this sense of being far. But now, on the other hand, which is to the point, it's very interesting over here, that on Yom Kippur, why don't we eat or drink at the end of the parable, just before Ice Gimel explains? Why don't we eat and drink on Yom Kippur? We don't eat and drink. Why? Because we are at the state where there is nothing that needs to sustain us. We are surviving our challah yamini. We are our whole existence is our right ventricle. There's complete vakos, complete oneness with Hashem. Yom Kippur is a time that we're celebrating this, that our only lifeline, the only thing that we need to function, is our relationship with Hashem, is that oneness with Hashem. However, on Sukkot, we celebrate a completely different dimension, which is Ice Gimel explains over here, that what does it represent? That on Sukkot, we celebrate Shuvah Ilah, which is this love that we have for Hashem. I did b'chinas Shuvah Ilah azu, shama amoka deliba miskala b'sukkot, b'chinas v'yamina tachapkeni, shemin elehu b'chinas avaraba, shemala mitam v'das, miskala emeir lamata b'gil ha'lev shalaya b'chinas nefarachah b'shas v'shalem. That what happens on Yom, that Rosh Hashanah, Yom, Sukkot, we celebrate something completely different. Sukkot, what are we celebrating? We are celebrating this Hashem loves you for you, this complete Yemina Techav Keni. Hashem loves you. Hashem gives you a hug. And the Alter Rebbe explains over here something actually really, really, really insightful. That there are so many ways in which you can express your love and admiration for the people around you. Like, for example, there's so many ways of expressing affection through looking at someone and speaking to them, through touching someone's face, through kissing them, through gazing at them. But there's one form of affection that is not a face-to-face form of affection, and that is giving someone a hug. When you give someone a hug, you are giving them, you are expressing affection from the back, not from face to face. And what does this express? This expresses that so often you can have a face-to-face relationship, but often the face-to-face relationship is conditional. You say, I love you because you are smart. I love you because you give me something. I love you. I look at you. You're beautiful. That's why I love you. I love you because you make me feel good about myself. I love you because you give me a sense of stability. This is face-to-face affection. When you look at someone and you tell someone why, and you look at them and you see the things about them that you love them for a reason, conditional love. But the Alter Rebbe explains it, that Yemina Techabkeni, that Hashem is giving you a hug, which represents Sukkot, the hug that Hashem is giving you from behind, is loving you completely, 100%, every single part of you. There is no part of you that Hashem isn't loving and obsessing over. It's your full self, just for being you, for your good days, for your bad days. Hashem is even loving your achar. Hashem is not just loving the kedem. Hashem is loving the achar, the back, the parts of you that you're not so proud of. Hashem fully embraces you. That is what a sukkah is. A sukkah is when you take your entire self, the day-to-day things that you do, and just daily life, Yochala smali, the part of you that is inclined to gashmias, the part of you that is inclined to regular day-to-day things. And what do you do with your inclination to day-to-day things? You are pulled to what? Become one with Hashem. It's powerful. Hashem really, really loves you just for being you, just for being the person that you are. And that's what Sukkot is really about. And that's why it says Hashem Silcha, that Hashem is your shadow. And we know that when it comes to Sukkah, Halacha explains that there has to be more shade than sun. Silsa maruba mechamasa. There has to be more shade than sun in order to have a kosher sukkah. What does that mean to have more shade than sun? Chassidus explains that shade represents the way Hashem relates to this world before light was created. So before Hashem created light, that's Yisrael Alom HaBachshava. Hashem created the Jewish neshama before anything was created, before light even was created. So what is sukkah? Sukkah also has this idea of ratzay and shuv. How does sukkah also have the subdivision? Even though shuv, that Hashem loves you for who you are, is really the theme of sukkahs, there's really both. Why is there really both? That the kirov, that Hashem really, that the achar is in the kedem. What does that mean? That Hashem, that the part of Hashem that's before creation, the part of you that is really one with Hashem, is really brought down into the everyday, daily, mundane life. That there's really an elevation of daily life, of this dveikus with Hashem. And it's a really, really powerful idea that Sukkot is really the time that we celebrate being ordinary and the power of ordinary, and that ordinary is extraordinary. The shadow of Hashem that is before creation, that is this part of Hashem that is so much deeper than the world itself, is actually brought down into achar, is brought down into day-to-day life. And if you think about Sukkot, what is Sukkot? Sukkot is not just that. Sukkot, we also bring the 70 bulls. Sukkot is a time that we celebrate the entire world. We don't just celebrate the entire self. We celebrate the entire world. We are celebrating being universal people of the world. And when Shmini Atzeres comes, we have the famous mashal of the bride, that the king says to the bride, I want a party, just me and you. I've celebrated with all the incredible people. I've celebrated with all the ministers, all the people of the world that have come to celebrate our reunion. But now, what do I want? Par echad. I just want one animal, one bull. Shmini Atzeres is the time that we celebrate this paradox. How do we celebrate this paradox? We celebrate this unity between us and Hashem. The paradox of being universal, of realizing that as Jews we are Orla Gayim, but at the same time we have to understand and celebrate that we're as human beings, that as Yidden we have a role, we have an individuality, and that we have to constantly be expanding and contracting. So we have this question in the beginning, and how are we going to answer this? Through the idea of Shmini Atzeres. That we said that Ratzay and Shuv is a paradox. How do we create this balance? How do we create a balance that on one hand we have to constantly be working on ourselves, constantly we have to say I'm not good enough, and the place that I am, I need to grow, I need to be better, I need to be more connected, I need to work harder, my Vaidas Hashem. On the other hand, I have to think to myself, no, I am amazing just the way I am. I am valued. Hashem loves me. I'm an incredible human being just the way I am. But then what does that lead? That can lead to complacency. But if I constantly say I'm not good enough, then that can lead to anxiety. So how do I create this balance? We create this balance through the dance. The dance of Rosh Hashanah, Sukkot, Yom Kippur, Shmini Atzeres, Az Tismach Basula B'machal, and then the maiden dances. How does she celebrate? How does Knesset Yisrael, how do the Jewish people celebrate who they are? Through the dance of Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah. Why do we dance of Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah? Why do we go back? Why do we go forth? Why do we even have a chag called Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah? What is the point of this chag? Hashem says, no. Now I just want you. Kasha li perdaschem. It is hard for me to leave you. I've had this incredible journey with you. I've been one with you. It's like a wedding. We had Rosh Hashanah. We had Yom Kippur. I was intimate with you. And then I had Sukkot and I celebrated together with everyone else. Kasha li perdaschem. It's difficult for me to celebrate from you. And now I want to have a one-on-one waltz with you. I want it to just be me and you. And I want us to constantly be balancing this, not just today, but for the rest of our lives. Because Shmini Atzeres, through the chef of Shmini Atzeres, how do we open up the Maima? That the Hine Shmini Atzeres, Mekablim Kol Yisrael, Shef Anagasam, Baterasam, Barisam, Al Kol Hashana. That the entire year experiences the chef of Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah. And what is the chef of Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah? The chef of Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah is celebrating that we have together this back and forth. We have this idea where sometimes we feel good enough and sometimes we need to work on ourselves. And every day we are going to be constantly going through this paradox of life. But instead of looking at it as something that stresses us out, going back and forth, and who am I? I'm so paradoxical, I'm so contradictory. No, instead we're looking at it as a dance, as something to celebrate. Celebrate that as human beings, we are constantly going to be dancing. And we're going to celebrate this avaita that we have as human beings that is unique to being human. There is no other creature in this world that experiences this back and forth. Only, not even animals. Animals never think I'm not good enough, and animals never think I need to work on themselves. Human beings are the only creature that Hashem created. Achav Rekedem Sartani. It's the only creature that Hashem created on this planet that has to go through and experience its balance of going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And only through feeling that I'm amazing and I need to work on myself, I'm amazing, I need to work on myself, this back and forth dance, we'll be able to be the best versions of ourselves in life. And that's the only way we can grow. The only way we can grow is if we experience this dance of life, this paradox that needs to be celebrated. So I bless everybody that through this journey that we've been on, through Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Simchas Torah, Shmini Atzeres, Simchas Torah, and eventually the entire year of our life, we should celebrate it like a dance. Az tismach basula b'machal. We should be like these maidens that are dancing our way through life, dancing our way through working on ourselves, dancing on our way to thinking that we are incredible, and through trying in our life, in our own personal way, to create this amazing balance, then we will hopefully be the most incredible versions of ourselves in the upcoming year. Wishing everyone a Chag Sameach and a good Yom Tov.